Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
And when Jesus Christ comes the second time, he comes not in humiliation. He comes in glory and power and majesty. And in Revelation 19, John is going to describe the voice of a great multitude crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God, the Almighty, reigns."
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. The book of Revelation has many important prophecies and warnings for the future. But there's one promise made that stands above all others, that Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And today on The Verdict, we're examining what Revelation has to say about the glorious and imminent return of Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor John Monroe with his message, "Jesus is Coming Back."
What do you think of the book of Revelation? Last time we commenced our study in this book, the last book of the Bible. And it brings out, as we study this book, a variety of responses. Some people simply give up. As they say, the book of Revelation is simply too difficult to understand. Others love to engage in speculation and sensational and even outlandish predictions. But Revelation is part of Holy Scripture, inspired by God, and it shares important truths about our Lord Jesus Christ and the purposes of God. Last time, I gave an overview of some interpretive approaches and said that Revelation is an unfolding of future events. Join me now as we continue our study.
What's Revelation all about? Why would John write it? Why has the Holy Spirit given it to us? I'm going to mention three interwoven purposes. First of all, it is an encouragement and a warning. You say, what's the encouragement? The encouragement is this. The encouragement comes from knowing with certainty that Jesus Christ is coming back. That Jesus Christ will have the ultimate victory over the forces of wickedness. The book of Revelation is reminding us that in the midst of the most intense evil and wickedness, Jesus Christ is triumphant. It is an encouragement, but it is also a warning. Revelation is a warning to churches which can become complacent, materialistic, arrogant, tolerant of sin, tolerant of false doctrine. Furthermore, Revelation is a warning to those who reject Jesus Christ. Do you know the ultimate fate of the unbeliever? Do you know what's going to happen? Those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to be cast into the lake of fire, into hell itself. The wrath of God is coming on those who reject the Savior. Now, here's a second purpose: the consummation of the ages. People today, unbelievers, they like to think that man is in control of his own destiny. How foolish. Are we really in control of the world? Do we really think that we can eliminate war and famine and do something with climate control and therefore the world will continue forever and ever? That we are masters of our own destiny? That we can save our own planet? The book of Revelation explains that everything is moving to a final goal, a final climax. Human history is not going to continue as it has forever and ever. The future events described so well by John in Revelation are the consummation of God's redemptive purposes at the end of the ages. All of the prophecies and all of the purposes of God will find their culmination, will find their ultimate fulfillment. And in that way, then, Revelation is the capstone. It is the climax of the Bible. That's why it's at the end of the Bible. What's going to happen to the world? How are things going to end? You don't need to puzzle about it. Revelation is going to tell us the present world will be destroyed. You say it's going to be destroyed? Yes. The heavens and the earth are going to be burned up. And a new earth and a new heaven, an eternal heaven, will be instituted. Isn't that amazing to reflect on the future that we have as followers of Christ? That through simple trust in Jesus Christ, you receive as a gift eternal life. And whatever else happens, we're going to live forever and ever. My brother, my dear sister, don't panic. Revelation is telling us that God is in control and that he will triumph. Here's the third purpose, the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Supremely, Revelation declares that Jesus Christ is the sovereign and glorious ruler who, on the basis of his redemptive work, he directs the churches. We must remember that Christ is the head of the church. That Christ directs the churches. He judges the world and he rules his kingdom. He is Almighty God, that Christ is triumphant. And so we're going to learn much about our Savior. We're going to learn many of the descriptions and designations given to Jesus Christ. It's true, as we will see in Revelation, that the devil and the Antichrist are strong and powerful. It's true that evil abounds in our world with wars and persecution and violence and oppression and abuse and murder. It's true that evil often seems to increase. And in fact, according to Revelation, things are going to get much worse. And Revelation reminds us that there is an evil beyond evil people. You say, what do you mean? In the book of Revelation, we see evil unmasked. And we see evil in a sense as we've never seen it before, as we are faced with the devil and the Antichrist. And that before Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there will be a future and very evil worldwide totalitarian government and religion of great power and of great evil, encompassing all the world. A world government? A world religion? Yes, it's coming. But the outstanding theme of Revelation is not the Antichrist, it's not the devil, it's not evil, it is this, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Look at verse 7 of our Bibles, Revelation 1:7. We'll think of it next week. Behold, he is coming. And when Jesus Christ comes the second time, he comes not in humiliation. He comes in glory and power and majesty. And in Revelation 19, John is going to describe the voice of a great multitude crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God, the Almighty reigns." And in Revelation 19, we see this, Revelation 19, verse 16. As our Lord returns, from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's it. Revelation is about Jesus Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is coming soon. Do you believe that? I believe that. Jesus taught that himself in John 4. As he was leaving his disciples, he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's a clear statement. There in John 14, Jesus doesn't say when he's coming back, but he's declaring the fact of his returning. I'm going, but I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to worry. I don't want you to be stressed about this, because I'm going, but I will come back, and I'm going to take you to be with myself in the Father's house. Jesus taught that he was coming back. The apostles taught that. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul writes in verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. One day, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. He'll descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Do you have loved ones who've passed away, who've died, fallen asleep in Jesus? They're going to rise first. Then we who are alive, wouldn't it be wonderful that if we never died, wouldn't it be wonderful to be alive when Jesus Christ returned? Paul is saying there's a generation of believers who are not going to die. Verse 17, "We who are alive, who are left," that is, who have not died, "will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And so Jesus is teaching, and the apostles are teaching, that Jesus Christ is coming back. Paul says in Titus 2, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is the blessed hope of the follower of Jesus Christ, prophesied in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And people may debate when he's coming back, but the fact of his returning is absolutely certain. And here in Revelation, John is saying he's coming soon. Notice that, verse 1, Revelation 1. Verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place." Do you see that little word, soon? And teke in Greek, it's the word from which we get our English word tachometer. What's a tachometer? It is a machine which measures velocity. The things which must soon take place. That word soon could be translated quickly, swiftly, suddenly, or certainly. Paul uses it in Romans 16, verse 20, when he says, "The God of peace will soon," and teke, "the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Not only is he coming, but he's coming soon. Look at the end of verse 3. "For the time is near." John Walvoord, in his commentary in Revelation, says that the time is near means, from the standpoint of prophetic revelation, it could occur at any moment. That's the point. When is Jesus Christ coming? Answer: we don't really know, but one thing we do know is he's coming soon. He can come at any moment. Turn to the last chapter of Revelation. Here are literally the last words of the Bible. The last chapter of the last book, Revelation 22. It says at the end of verse 6, "He has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place." Same Greek word, entake, which must soon take place. Verse 7, "And behold, I'm coming," when? Soon. Verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Daniel 2, verse 28 refers to the latter days, but now John is saying these days have arrived. We're now in those days. We're now in the last days when these events must soon take place. So the return of Jesus is imminent. The rapture of the church can occur at any moment. It's close at hand is the point. It's the next event in God's prophetic calendar. And so the New Testament is full of a sense of expectancy that Jesus may come at any moment. He's coming quickly. He's coming suddenly. He's coming certainly. He's coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do Jesus can come today. He could come right at this moment. Could come at midnight. He's coming soon. What are we to do? We're to be ready. We're not only to be waiting, but we are to be watching. Watching for the Savior. Living in such a way that we are ready for Jesus to come at any moment. When I was a little boy, we would spend all of our summer vacation at my grandparents'. And so we would set off in our car. Difficult to believe, no GPSs. It's impossible to calculate exactly when you're arriving at my grandmother's. Old car, unreliable car, no motorways, no interstates. It was quite an undertaking, setting off the 100 or 150 miles that we had. My grandparents didn't have a telephone. All they would know was a letter that we're arriving on such and such a day, such and such an afternoon, possibly. And so we came. It always amazed me as a little boy. My grandparents lived up just at the harbor, a little lane called in Scotland a close. And almost invariably, when we arrived, my grandmother would be at the end of the lane waiting for us. Watching for us. As a little boy, I didn't think about that. And later I thought, how was that the case? Oh, the fact was, not only was she waiting for us, she was watching for us. She wanted to be there from the moment that we arrived, as she would take us into her home with my grandfather and welcome us and have a magnificent tea ready for us with fresh North Sea haddock just caught. I can still taste it. Right in that house. Why? Oh, my mother was their only child. We were the only grandchildren. And my grandmother didn't want to waste one moment. She was there because she loved us. Isn't that the picture that the New Testament wants us to have? James is going to say in James 5 that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do you have such a love for Jesus Christ that it's not just a matter of you saying, oh, I know he's coming. He's coming sometime. No, you're ready. You're living in such a way that you're looking for Christ. This is the one you love. You long for that day when Christ will come and catch us up to be forever with the Lord. And John is telling us that the time is near. Why study the book of Revelation? Because we want to fall in love more and more with Christ. Don't say, well, things will just turn out. God will do his thing. I don't need to worry about it. Of course, God will do his thing. But he's given us this revelation so that we will be wise, so that we'll keep our eyes on Christ, that we can know the future. This Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, I haven't seen it. It's become a huge hit. I read that on the opening weekend, it made movie history. It brought in $238 million in the U.S. alone. Within 12 days, it had brought in revenue of $1 billion. I read an article about it in The Economist, article on Star Wars, Disney, and myth-making. Here's part of it. I thought it was a very insightful article. In uncertain times, when governments and military might seem unable to keep people safe or stay honest, audiences take comfort in the idea of superheroes who ride to the rescue. Modern myths also have the power to unify people across generations, social groups, and cultures, creating frameworks of shared references, even as other forms of media consumption become ever more fragmented. Ultimately, however, these modern myths are so compelling because they tap primordial human urges for refuge, redemption, and harmony. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it fascinating? The article is saying people by the thousands, millions go to see Star Wars. It's complete myth. I'm not saying it's not a good movie. I'm not saying don't see the movie. But it's total fiction. Why do millions of people find Star Wars so compelling? According to the article, and I think they've got something there, it's because people need refuge, redemption, and harmony. But these will never be found in Star Wars. That's utter fantasy. It's fiction. It's all a myth. Here we are studying not Star Wars, not something made up in the mind of George Lucas or whoever. The events that we are studying are actually going to take place. You want refuge? Refuge is found not in escapism. Refuge is found in Jesus Christ. He's our refuge and strength. You want redemption? You wonder about your life? You want to be freed? You find yourself trapped? You find yourself disillusioned about the government, about your boss, about your family? Here is redemption. John is going to tell us here in verse 5, to him who loves us and has freed us, that's redeemed us from our sins by his blood. You want harmony? You want peace across generations, across the world? That peace is not going to be ushered in from outer space or whatever. It's going to be ushered in when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes. Jesus Christ is coming back. People may doubt, people may mock, but he's coming and he's coming soon. I ask you, are you ready? You know, when he comes, there's no time of preparation. He comes like a thief in the night. No warning is given. Therefore, be ready. For those who are left when he comes, the wrath of God and the judgment of God will fall on this world. We who love Christ are people of hope, a blessed hope. We have an unbelievable future. So open your heart, open your life to Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. He's coming soon. His coming is near. Therefore, be ready until that great day dawns and the shadows flee away. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming back. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come.
You're listening to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Jesus is Coming Back. John has a few closing remarks coming up in just a moment, so stay with us. Right now, as a special bonus for this new study in the book of Revelation, we'd like to offer you a free copy of the Helpful Listening Guide written by John. This printable guide is designed to walk you through each lesson of the series and will equip you with key notes, questions, and specific prompts to help deepen your understanding of this fascinating and important book. So take advantage of this free resource by downloading the PDF now or requesting a mailed copy of the Revelation Listening Guide at theverdict.org. If you are a regular listener, you know our ministry is committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And if you'd like to help by being a part of this gospel work, please consider supporting The Verdict with a gift of any amount. It's easy to give when you visit theverdict.org. And before we close today's program, we want to remind you that you can always listen to these messages wherever you are by subscribing to The Verdict podcast, available through your favorite podcast app. When you subscribe, please consider leaving a 5-star rating and a comment to help other listeners find the program. Like this listener who wrote, Pastor Monroe is an amazing Bible teacher. His podcasts are thoughtful, insightful, and most importantly, biblical. Again, we're so glad you're listening. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks for today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you believe that Jesus is returning? Jesus clearly taught his return. He said, if I go, I will come again. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. His return in power and glory is imminent. Make sure you're ready by trusting in Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from him. Don't miss the next time as we look further into the opening verses of Revelation chapter 1. Invite others to listen.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.